Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got our first installment of our new series, Major Lessons from the Minor Prophets, today looking at the prophet Obadiah. And I would like to send both you and a friend a free book. Be sure to stay tuned at the end for details. First, by way of introduction, what is the minor prophet versus a major prophet? Really, it's just a matter of book length is the first part, the first understanding. The major prophets, we've got like Ezekiel or Jeremiah, Daniel probably, Daniel's kind of right on the edge there, as well as Isaiah. And you think Isaiah is, you know, like 66 chapters long. Obadiah is one chapter long, and it's not even that long of a chapter. And the other aspect that really applies into these major versus minor prophets understanding is that the minor prophets are usually talking about, you know, somewhat more minor events and really zooming in on a lot of the details there. And a lot of the themes that we'll see coming out of the minor prophets have to deal with the day-to-day interactions of people. We'll get to those, especially, you know, as we go through Obadiah, and then later on, especially in Amos. If you were ever wondering why or when God talks about social justice and speaking up for the oppressed, well, just wait. It's all over the minor prophets. So we're looking at major lessons from the minor prophets, and as we get started, we're going to take these in chronological order as best as we can. And so today we begin with this guy named Obadiah. There are a couple of instances of an Obadiah being mentioned in Chronicles and in Kings, but it's probably a different Obadiah, although we can't say for certain. Obadiah served in the during the reign of Ahab. And this Obadiah that we have, the word Obadiah, or the name Obadiah, means servant of the Lord. And so we don't know anything in particular about Obadiah, other than what we can maybe deduce from what he says. It is possible, but you know, it's an absolute toss-up as to whether 2 Chronicles 17 refers to this Obadiah. Possible, probably not probable. And so, since Obadiah says nothing about the times in which he lives, there are two options that have been set forth from the content of his message as we try to determine a date and why we're starting with Obadiah as the earliest of the minor prophets. He probably lived during the day of Jehoram, who is the king of Judah, and probably worked at the same time as Elisha. Elisha, you know, the prophet immediately after Elijah. So you're thinking the church of God is the kingdom of God, kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah are in absolute disarray. Even though politically they are powerful, spiritually it is a wreck. Elijah had that showdown with the prophets of Baal, and Elisha is after him, and it looks like God's church is just teetering on the edge of disaster. That is the most likely time frame. This would put Obadiah around the year 850 BC, roughly 850 years before Christ. And then Obadiah is going to be quoted for us later in the book of Jeremiah, eventually from Jeremiah 49. And that quotation from Obadiah listed for us in Jeremiah 49 kind of tips our hand that Obadiah is probably an earlier prophet, that he's quoted by one of the later prophets, the prophet of Jeremiah. And so one of the themes that we get in a lot of the minor prophets is the interaction of God's people with Edom. Edom is their next door neighbor, and the animosity between Judah and Edom went back all the way to before Jacob and Esau were born. Jacob's descendants were the Israelites, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, and Esau's descendants were Edom, and they lived just to the east of the Dead Sea, up in the mountains there. And they are kind of portrayed as the historical enemy of God's people, all the way back to fighting within the womb when the little boys were infant twins, all the way to the Exodus, the time of the Exodus, when the Israelites said, "Hey, can we just pass through your land? We're gonna stay on the road. We're not gonna eat anything off the side. We won't disturb anything. We just want to pass through." And the Edomites said, "Absolutely not, you pass through here and we're going to come out and wage war against you." And rather than wage war, the Israelites went around. So you can see the animosity goes back a long time. And that's one of the major themes or motifs that we'll see in the Minor Prophets is that Edom is the enemy of God's people. And that kind of comes out pretty strongly in the book of Obadiah here. Edom had gloated whenever foreign forces devastated Judah, and later on, especially in the fall of the Israelite kingdom and then the eventual destruction of Judah, Edom was gloating about that. Anyway, so Obadiah is not very long. We just have a total of 21 verses. Here goes. The vision of Obadiah. This is what the Lord God says about Edom. We have heard news from the Lord, and an envoy has been sent among the nations. Get up, let us rise up against her in battle. Listen, I will make you insignificant among the nations. You will be completely despised. This is God talking to Edom. You who live in the clefts of the rocky cliff, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Your dwelling is so high that you say in your heart, "Who can bring me down to the ground?" Even if you would soar as high as an eagle, and even if your nest is set among the stars, I will bring you down from there, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers came by night, oh, what disaster awaits you! Wouldn't they steal only until they had enough? If grape pickers came to you, wouldn't they leave some grapes for gleaning? Oh, how completely Edom will be ransacked. His hidden treasures will be searched out and looted. All your allies will push you back to your border. Those who were at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. Those who eat bread with you will lay a trap for you. There is no understanding left in Edom. Will I not destroy the wise men of Edom on that day, declares the Lord? Will I not take away from the mountain of Esau those who have understanding? Your strong warrior, Teman, will be shattered by terror, so that everyone from the mountain of Esau will be cut down by the massacre. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame will cover you, and you will be cut off forever. On the day when you stood by and watched, on the day when strangers carried away Jacob's wealth, and foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were just like one of them. But do not look down on your brother on the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah on the day when they are destroyed. Do not speak proudly in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people on the day of their disaster. Do not look down on their affliction on the day of their calamity. Do not seize their wealth on the day of their disaster. Do not stand in the crossroads to cut off those who have escaped. Do not imprison his survivors on the day of distress. And now in verse 15, God broadens his message to all nations, not just Edom. Verse 15, yes, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. For just as you Edomites have drunk on my holy mountain, so also all the nations will drink continually. Yes, they will drink and guzzle it down, and it will be as though the Edomites never existed. But on Mount Zion, there will be some who escape, and it will be holy. The house of Jacob will recapture its territory. The house of Jacob will be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau will be stubble. The Israelites set them on fire and consume them. There will not be any survivors for the house of Esau. Yes, the Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will take possession of the mountains of Esau, and those from the Shephelah will take possession of the land of the Philistines. They will take possession of the territory of Ephraim and the territory of Samaria. Benjamin will take possession of Gilead. Those from the army of the people of Israel who have been exiles will take possession of the territory of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. And the exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad, will take possession of the cities of the Negev. Saviors will go up on Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. The kingdom will belong to the Lord. So another major, that is the book of Obadiah, another major theme or another major feature that really comes out, especially in the Minor Prophets, is this compression of time. And sometimes God talks about things happening in the future as though they have already happened in the past. And that's just a feature of Old Testament writing, of Hebrew writing. And then also, a lot of times God will fast forward to the end of time or to the judgment or to the future glory of Israel, and time is just kind of compressed. But what we see here is you really read this as a warning against those who have opposed Israel. Here you read this as a warning, especially to the Edomites who have opposed and oppressed Israel, because it's almost, 250, 275 years before Israel and Judah are going to be completely destroyed. And God says now, you know what? Heed the word of the Lord before you have to experience it yourself. Listen to the word of the Lord before before this happens in the future so that you will not be destroyed. And that's what we have really in verses 3 and 10 and 11. Verse 3, you who live in the heights, in the clefts of the rocky cliff, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Your dwelling is so high that you say in your heart, who can bring me down to the ground? A major lesson here against the arrogance in what we can see and account, against the arrogant pride in our own abilities and our own strength rather than the strength of our Lord. And then verses 10 and 11, this is a warning against their judgment on the day that Judah is destroyed. Verses 10 and 11, because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame will cover you and you will be cut off forever. On the day when you stood by and watched, when strangers carried away Jacob's wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were just like one of them. Edom had continually opposed the kingdom of Judah, and whose capital city is Jerusalem. But then on that last day, when the Babylonians would enter Jerusalem and carry off all of its treasures and destroy the place, Edom was cheering. And here God vividly warns them ahead of time, do not take pleasure in your neighbor's misfortune, but rather take warning. And that is the first major lesson, or the second major lesson for us today. The first major lesson is that we likewise ought to take our comfort in the strength of our Lord for us, not in the comfort in what we can see and count, not in our particular candidate, not in our wealth, not in our health, but our comfort is in the Lord, the God of earth. And the second thing that we learned, especially from verses 10 and 11, is compassion. Compassion for those who perhaps have disaster come upon them, that we don't stand cheering even if our very own enemies or those who had oppressed us or opposed us, those who had made our lives miserable, we do not rejoice at their misfortune, but we bow our heads and we say, yes, the Lord is good, yes, and God's judgment is just, but at the same time, that God will carry out his judgment, and were it not for the grace of God, there I would be as well. Thank you, Jesus, for continuing to be gracious to me. And so that wraps us up today, Book of Obadiah. Next time, we'll get into the Book of Joel. As far as scheduling goes, I'll try to have something on the podcast every day. We do have a variety of Bible classes and Sunday school classes that I'll be uploading, but it probably won't work out to a new Bible reading every day, but I really appreciate you spending a few moments with us here. And then finally, I do have some books to give away. If you would like one, here's how it works. You hit that share button and you share this podcast with a friend, and then you contact me, Pastor Hagen. Contact is in the show notes, pastorhagen@icloud.com, and let me know a good address for you and a good address for your friend, because we've got, I think that the book for this quarter is by Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, Has American Christianity Failed? And I would love to send you a copy of that, and I would love for you to share this podcast with a friend, especially if you found some benefit from it. Thanks so much for spending a few moments with us today. God bless your day.